Maybe one of these days. Maybe. Glory to God. Well, I'll tell you right now, I know it's not the time, and I just should shut up. There's just so many things I've just got to tell you, but it's not the time yet. I got to let things settle. Somebody asked me how I was doing today and how my week went. And you know what? God gave me peace last Sunday morning. And I got to tell you, the devil never fails. He's predictable. But God is faithful. Amen. I'm watching what God's doing right now, and the peace that I have and everything is amazing. It's just totally amazing. All right, you got your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in the book of Romans, so go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 1. If you haven't paid attention to what's going on in the world, this is not the world most of us grew up in. Things are entirely different from even 10 years ago, let alone 20, 30, and 40. And as I was studying a couple weeks ago, I came across a passage of Scripture, and I wrote it down on my, and put it on sticky. Downside to having a plain, huge, white piece of desk paper on your desk is you write Scriptures down, and if you don't put what it was for, you forget the message you were trying to put together on it. So I actually put a sticky, and this was something I wanted. I felt God wanted me to preach. So let's pray before we read. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this beautiful day. And Lord, we thank you that your word came in the flesh to show us how to live, how to love. And Father, I pray now that as we read the written word, Lord God, that it again shows us how to live and how we ought to love. Use me now, Holy Spirit. Speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 1, let's go to verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is something we tout all the time. And I want to tell you, while there is a certain amount I believe I'm a faith preacher, but I'm not one of those faith preachers that tells you, if your child is dying, don't take them to a doctor. If you ain't got money, don't go get a job. I'm the one that tells you, if your child's dying, your butt had better be in the hospital with your child. Okay? And if you ain't got money, don't know what to do, I'm one that'll tell you, go find employment. Find something you can do. Because first off, my Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. But if you ain't been paying attention, that's not the mindset that is in the world today. Everybody wants to take it easy. So when it says the just shall live by faith, that means we believe what God has said. That's faith. And if you haven't figured it out by just yet, it is actually harder to believe than not to. I said that to somebody one time and they called me a liar and everything else, and like, really? I'll tell you right now, it was real easy for me to just say, you know what? Nah, 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 God, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. I'm going to do my own stupid stuff. That was pretty easy. Now, granted, God was still there whispering in my ears, hey, you know this ain't right. You know this ain't right. And we grow from faith to faith. We grow believing from one thing to the next. You know, many people, right now, I'm going to maybe get a little ahead of myself here. It is the end thing to disprove that God created the earth. Without going in and studying many of the astronauts, while I'm sure most of them were not what we would call real good Christians, I don't know that any of them were atheists. I remember being a little boy, and most of you can remember that seeing this on TV as well. There used to be a time the television turned off. Y'all, how many of you remember that? About, was it, I think 12:30, you'd get there. And I would stay up just to watch this thing. The fighter pilot would go out there and he'd crawl up in his jet. He'd take off and he'd talk about cresting above the clouds and he'd see the face of God. You ain't going to see that today. Because we're trying to deny that God created the heavens and the earth and put things in an order. We still would like to believe that it was all by accident. That none of this is by design. The only thing you can create by an accident is destruction. When I was at Camp Johnson, down at Camp Lejeune in Motor T School, we blew up a toilet. Do not mix bleach and Lysol together. It's not good for the toilet. And to this day, I still can't stand the smell of bleach. But I have a picture from the third story of a waterfall because it blew the pipe. The room was filled with about 4 or 5 inches of water. The only thing we created by mixing two substances together was an explosion that didn't create anything good. So today there is a major push to discredit God. We have to believe first and foremost. I don't think it's by any happenstance that our Bible begins with the very foundation of our beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is the first statement you have to take on faith. I have no physical proof. I'm about to read some things here that will reveal this a little more to you. But I have no physical proof other than looking around and saying, okay, I have seen what nature does by itself. It cannot create this. These things evolved. No, what happened was probably two trees cross-pollinated. That's how we end up with a mule. Y'all know that? A donkey and a horse got together. But the problem is the mule can't reproduce. Accidents can't carry on. Things don't happen in natural. You know, how many of you have seen these cats you've seen them on the internet because you won't find them in the wild, but a liger. I think those things are beautiful. They're huge. It's a cross between a lion and a tiger, and I don't remember which one, but they said in nature it will never happen. It had to be done in a zoo, in a controlled environment. God didn't create that to happen. Man had to do it. As a matter of fact, if you get into the law, you will find that God strictly forbade cross. The word just went crossbreeding. Thank you. God forbade it. He even forbade mixing fruit juices. I'll be honest with you. How many of you got messed up stomachs? You drink the wrong combination of fruit juices? You'll be spending the next 2 hours in the bathroom. God knew what he was talking about. And there's some of the combinations they've mixed up today. I'm thinking, dear Lord, that's not even good. It doesn't even taste good. Kind of like that commercial for the Oscar Mayer protein little packs, the P3 packs. The guy's standing there and he's like, what are you getting? He said, I don't know, but it's packed with protein. And he picks it. He can't stand the smell. And the other guy just opens up his little cheese and almonds and little sausage. He says, this has got 13 grams, which is more. It's an amazing thing. Anyhow, let's carry on. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. First off, God has showed himself and revealed himself in things to everybody. Now, primarily what Paul is talking about is what we read in the book of Genesis, the time of Noah, between Adam and Noah. They knew God. You've got to keep that in your mind first and foremost. They knew who God was. They knew what God had done. They had Adam in their midst. And Adam said, God did this. God spoke this. God created that. God has revealed himself to each and every one of us. Human reproduction in any sense is awesome. How many, I mean, other than Richard, because I got a feeling he knows, how corn develops. My father-in-law, being a farmer, and they were doing some sweet corn the other day, proceeded to tell Angela and the boys, how corn, you've got your tassel on the top, and that's where your pollen is. Your silk. See, I grew up thinking that silk was just hair that was wrapped around to protect it. But no, each one of those strands of silk goes to a seed inside on that cob. Every one of them. And it's not a solid strand. It's a tube. The pollen falls down and goes down that tube. Somebody keep please telling me that it's an accident. You have to have a microscope to see the whole. Human reproduction. We cannot even see the egg, let alone the sperm. And yet, here we are. There's billions of us on this planet. By accident. God has revealed himself to everybody just in that. But we chalk it up as science. You do realize God's the greatest scientist. He has no problem with science. It's when science tries to deny his existence. It's by the grace of God that we now have things that we can see universes beyond our own. To realize this place is massive. And we are just one little blip on the radar. But yet we have God's heart. We are special. We were created in his image. I do not believe there's ever been nor ever will be anything created like mankind. God created man in his image. Now there are some things that took place in the Garden of Eden that, well, I got some questions for God, okay? I like to know how things work. The mechanical side of my brain says, how did that, what God? I've actually heard people, because they just will not investigate beyond the end of their nose, say a man has more ribs than less ribs than a woman. He's got one less, that's what they say. Do you know men and women have the exact same amount of ribs? And did you know that if you take a rib out of a human being, that rib will grow back? It's one of the few pieces of the body that will do that. So you take a lizard or you cut its tail off, it grows a new tail. God knew that if the rib of a man, he took that out, he took the DNA. That's why he took the rib. We now know about the DNA because of science. Science isn't a bad thing. Let's keep that in mind. It was just wasn't a course that I could ever pass for some reason. And they wouldn't let me take chemistry. I don't know, the fact that my eyebrows hadn't grown in yet or whatever was, or my reputation preceded me. But God has been telling us he's here, he's real. All we have to do is look around. And if I'm going to put it this way, if we're so close-minded as to say that God only is 10,000 years old, I'm sorry, I do not believe this. Too many believers are still running around trying to say this. Well, dinosaurs didn't exist. Do you know that they denied the existence of dinosaurs when they first started finding them? I started becoming more of a believer of, okay, maybe the earth is a little bit older, but man was created at a specific time. And I made my decision based on what I was digging out of the earth. I mined for 3 years. I dug up things in a place that is in the middle of Ohio. Things that should only be in an ocean. My Bible says the earth in the beginning was covered with water. The earth was covered with water. That proves it to me. Okay, I'm not going to get into all that today. I'm just trying to establish the fact that God is telling us. Not only is the world denying things of God, the church is continuing to deny the things of God. There's so many people today still, there's churches believe that are teaching that demons don't exist. The devil doesn't exist. Hell doesn't exist. Then if that's the case, this book is full of lies. Because my Bible says Jesus cast out demons. And by the way, not everybody that's sick had a demon. I'm sorry, I just cannot get onto that bandwagon of teaching. That you're sick and you've got a demon. I'm sorry. I broke my leg twice. So what? The demon jumped up there and broke my leg twice. I got an injury, so now I got a little calcium deposit around. There's a demon. That's what it is. There's a demon attached to my leg, and it's. Come on. Let's start using this awesome thing God gave us between our ears. All right. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. See, I told you I would validate everything I just said. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, nobody is going to have an excuse when we stand before God. I didn't know you existed. He's going to say, really? Here's my evidence. Here is my evidence. I gave you evidence that I created you. I gave you evidence I created the earth, and I gave you evidence that I am God. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. I've got to stop on this. Folks, we may not run around worshiping idols carved out of wood and things like that, but I'm going to put it this way. We worship things that are made of four-footed animals. Let me tell you how I can prove it. How many of you are Colts fans? How many of you are Buffalo Bill fans? Cavaliers? People worship the teams. You say something against somebody's team, and sometimes that's fighting words. It's stupid. That's what the word futile means. It is maddening for us to think that we can place sports and the sports people up here and God down here. We can think that it's okay for us to put man and our everything else up here and keep God down here. God said it was futile. It was stupid. That he gave us evidence that he created it. Does God have a problem with sports teams? I don't think so. I see many of the coaches stand up, and a few of the players actually stand up and say, my glory goes to God first. Okay? I don't think God has a problem with it, because if that's the case, then God's got a problem with half the other stuff we do. He's got a problem with you playing Monopoly. But here's some wild things. 21 says, they knew God and they didn't give him glory. They knew it was God and they refused to thank him. They refused to give him the glory that was due to him. And that's when their thoughts and everything they said became moronic. And their hearts were darkened. They began professing to be wise. There is such a push for knowledge. God wants us to be smart, okay? Don't get me wrong. One, we're not all smart in the same things. Thank God. All I would have kept doing was putting fuel in a big tube and seeing how high it could go. Somebody finally figured out that there's a real science and mixture ratios and all that stuff to launch the rocket. I would have just kept pouring powders and gasoline and ran a really long wick. And by the way, I learned how to split a log using black powder the other day from an Amishman. Don't know that I'm going to try it, but I personally don't want to be cutting logs that are 4 foot around. But they professed to be wise. In their wisdom, they became fools, because every time they'd open their mouth, they would say something against God while the facts are sitting there staring them in the face. Today we have a man bound to a wheelchair by a debilitating disease. The world calls him the smartest man on the planet. Denies the existence of God. God didn't create the universe. Science did. Who created the science? I don't care how God created the universe. Do you understand? It could have been an explosion of things and God started things. I don't know. I wasn't there. But my Bible says that he hung the stars. You know, I was in total amazement the other night as we laid out there and I watched, like I said, no less than a dozen shooting stars. And I'm laying here watching them and I'm seeing, you know, Orion's belt. God talked about Orion's belt in the book of Job. The book of Job. And Orion's belt is in the same exact place today as it was then. Why don't they move? I'm watching all these other things fall. Why don't they move? Why does the Big Dipper stay where it is? Because God hung them. He placed them there. The Bible says he actually put them there for signs of the times. For us to properly interpret, not to find out whether you're going to have a good day or a bad day. Play the lottery or not, okay? He's not into astrology. So please do not share your horoscope with me. But God put them there for a purpose. Nothing ended up there by accident. But what has happened is we began changing the glory of God into something that we control. We control men. Why is it we still look to men for our prosperity? Things don't go right. What do? We blame the government. Who elected the government? Yeah, we did that. We don't want to bear the blame for when things don't go right and for government programs that are just draining everybody dry and not working. When the truth of the matter is, we should look within and say, hey, I'm going to trust God for my prosperity. I'm going to trust God to carry me. I'm going to put it this way, but Malachi chapter 3, starting around verse 8, God says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. Okay, I'm going to go down this road. You'll see where I'm going in a second. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. That's where it belongs. The storehouse is your local assembly. It's not Dallas, Texas. It's not Missouri. It's not Manitoba. I love all these people dearly. They've done some great things for God. But I'm going to promise you, you try to call them up and tell them your child is sick, they're going to say, call your pastor. Oh, but wait a minute. My pastor has to go to work at third shift because I won't tithe here. I give you all my money. Just saying. But God said, try me now in essence, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing. But he says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And I've shared this with you before. Through the deepest parts of the depression that we've gone through, and I've actually heard some state that the depression we went through was actually worse than the Great Depression. Okay? Just this time, people didn't go running off and jumping off of buildings and things. And we didn't have a drought in the middle of the United States wreaking havoc, even though it is wreaking havoc in California and Texas. But in this congregation, and I'm sure it's in every other congregation, every person who is a faithful tither has prospered and not lost their jobs. We've actually had people promoted. We've had things, God move people on to other jobs where they made twice what they were making before. I have watched God be faithful in all that. You cannot tell me that God's principles do not work. $4 a gallon gas. Here we are, folks. We are still paying high prices, and yet the price of fuel is back where it was when gas was still $1.75. The price of corn dropped to $3 a bushel. Do you know that's what they were paying in 1942? Anybody ever priced a combine? What's a new combine, Joshua? About $450,000, roughly. Roughly nearly $500,000 for that big piece of steel just so it can pick corn and beans. And they're getting $3 a bushel. And they aren't gas misers either. You don't take, about an 8-liter engine and get 12 miles to the gallon out of it. You get about 4. But anyhow, people have got to learn to trust God. Therefore, verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. I'm going to stop right there again. Today, I was talking with somebody else, and they were explaining some things that their children are going through. Things that they never thought they would see their children do. They were raised in a Christian home. Went to church. One of them is now a declared atheist and a homosexual. The other one, an alcoholic. And I said, what you need to understand is this is the spirit of the world today. We serve ourselves. If it makes me feel good. Right? Well, see, here's the problem. When we focus on ourselves, we're not, one, focusing on God, and we aren't reaching out to others. There is a certain amount we have to take care of ourselves. There's a balance there, folks. There's something, I just got to give to everybody else. Okay, listen, you're giving all your money away and your children are barefoot and dirty and clothed and hungry too. God did not make you the savior to the world. He made you the provider for that family first. That's as I've said before, my family is my top priority. You are my family as well. And if there's something I can bump to help you, I will gladly do it. But my family is my top, and I will not lose my family because somebody can't grow up. Let me back it up. They won't grow up. That's usually the biggest part. They can. We can all grow up. There's just certain things I still refuse. I just won't. I will watch my cartoons. But the spirit of the world that's in the world today is self. It's all about what makes me happy. How am I getting more out of this? How am I getting over on somebody? How am I getting richer? How am I getting more this, more of that? How do I do it? That's what it's about. Instead of letting God prosper. Instead of going about God's way of doing things, sowing a seed, whether it's kindness, whether it's an act of service, whether God told you to give $100 to somebody, you sowed a seed. The Bible says He will give you the harvest. But today, we get a little expendable income. Well, I ain't giving that bum on the street that $20 bill. But God told you to. I don't care. He smells of alcohol. Yeah, so did I at one time. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. People today are exchanging the truth. God loves you. He cares about you. He died for you. To there is no God. There's not a God in heaven who loves you. I actually do have this. It's not necessarily a beef with atheists and groups of that nature, but it is a question. If there is no God, why are you spending billions of dollars fighting me to tell me there isn't one? Right? That's like Islamic terrorists saying, we're going to come over to the United States and we're going to kill you all. That ain't happening. There's a reason mainland United States has not ever been invaded. And until they disarm the people of the United States, it won't be. And right at the moment, I don't see that happening anytime soon. You can make all the laws you want. The boys and I were talking the other day about what do they do with discarded military weapons when we change a weapons group system? What do we do with it? Well, some of them they chew up and melt down. Others they sell to rogue countries, then we get to fight them later. I said, but here's the thing you got to remember. As long as there's one red-blooded American who knows how to operate a milling machine, we can make everything that we just chewed up. You can take the guns, but you will never get them all.
Well, you sound like you're living in fear, preacher, and you're, that's what I'm looking for, just antagonizing the government. Well, you know, there's never been a politician there's been a few politicians, very few. But lately, there hasn't really been any who went and fought for my freedom. They're career politicians. Eisenhower, he knew what it was like to fight. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, knew what it was to fight. Roosevelt, he knew what it was like to fight. I learned a little something the other day. Does anybody know when the first assassination attempt on an American president happened? Anybody? Besides my boys? 1835, Capitol building, president was Andrew Jackson. At that time, they obviously still didn't have security details, and a man walked up to him. He was a little disgruntled, walked up to him with a gun, almost point blank, pulled the trigger, and the gun went click. He had another gun. He pulled it out. Click. Both guns failed to go off. I ain't saying everything these presidents have done was right. But here's the hilarious part. People that were around him had to pull Jackson off of his would-be assassin. When the second gun went click, he jumped on the guy and started beating him with his cane. Where's that kind of character today? Like I said, I'm not saying everything they ever did was all right. But when I heard that, I was like, okay, two guns misfiring? Obviously, there was something God needed him around for. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the Creator rather than the creature who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Do I have to spell it out? That's what's happening today. We have people leaving their families because they're convinced they're gay. And you know what convinces them they're gay? The number one thing? They can relate to that person and they feel love. Are you following me? There's a love. There's a bond. I love Phil dearly. I would lay my life down. Actually, anybody in here, I would. But there's a line I will not cross with him. I will hug him. I will cry with him. I will rejoice with him. And there's a bond we have. But not that bond. Yeah. And he doesn't shave. I like my wife. That's why God gave me a wife. But you see, they're convinced now because, wait a minute, situations. Well, you know what? A young girl, my mom didn't show me love. My mom didn't tell me. She didn't care for me. She never hugged me. She never kissed me. We'll stop right there real quick. Moms and dads, I cannot emphasize how important hugging and kissing and telling your children you love them is. Many of us sitting in here were denied some of that. It does not give us an excuse to carry it on. We have to determine it stops here. The buck stops here. Okay? Many of us, I've talked to people, well, my dad never said he loved me. You know what? That doesn't excuse you. Jesse was watching Medea Goes to Jail last night. And you know what? I used to not like Tyler Perry, but I'm going to tell you right now, that man gets out there and he tells some truth in a way that I'm like, holy smoke. Brother, you preach it. And even from the standpoint of a total heathen like Medea, he gets the truth across that people can understand. And then Medea goes to jail. If you've not seen it, they're in a Bible study. And this other person's like, but you don't know what my dad did to me. And Medea pipes up and says, listen, you're responsible for what got you in here, not your dad. He's free and on the outside. You're the one in prison for what you did. In other words, folks, we're responsible now for our own lives. What are we going to do with it? Okay? But today, I'm going to use a young girl as an example. Young girl who's been pushed away by her mother because she didn't receive the love and affection that she should have. And she goes off finally for the first time by herself in this world. And people who are in similar situations, they always say birds of a feather, they start together. And they build a bond and a relationship. And they're like, you know what? We're gay. Because we feel this way towards each other. Do you understand? David, King David, said that the love that he felt for his friend Jonathan was greater than anything he had ever had with a woman. And it's not because he was gay. It's because he was able to relate on a level. But today, we're flipping that. That's why we have so many people. I'm out of the closet now. I'm out of the closet. I've been a closet gay. No. How about we sit down and really break it down and see what the problem is? Because you need to understand, Paul didn't say it was against God, did he? He says against nature. Animals in nature will do this. Anybody ever seen it? I read an article on turkeys, about turkey hunting. There are turkeys, they don't hang out with the other guys. Two of them will go off by themselves, but they can't do nothing but die. They can't reproduce. So what does mankind do? Say, well, you know what? You can adopt. You can donate sperm. Donate an egg. Create a baby and it's yours. No, it's not. You will still die. You didn't create that. It had to be done in a test tube. It's against nature. But so many people today are hurting. And it creates this whole atmosphere of I've got to protect myself. I got to start doing what is right only for me. I will agree, we need to take care of ourselves. Okay? It makes no sense whatsoever for any person to give so much of themselves that they end up sick and they can't help anybody else. And I've seen people do it. Oh, but the call of God, He wants me to do this. God never said destroy yourself. I just got to go. I go 7 days a week. I go, well, first off, you're violating one of God's first commands to mankind. Work 6 days and take one off. And even as they did, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. And then Paul goes on to explain. Sexual immorality. By the way, it's not just homosexuality. And I've told you before, right now it's homosexuality. Tomorrow it's going to be bestiality. You need to understand. It goes further. I really wish I didn't have to say that. But I'm sure that when God wrote it in Leviticus, He wished He didn't have to say it. Everything God wrote down in the book of Leviticus when He started laying down the law was because it had been practiced before and was still being done. Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Is that not one of the biggest things that's being pushed today among teens? And it's not other teens putting the pressure on. It's therapists. It's people in positions of authority who are saying, disobey your parents. Listen, I look back at my life, my parents weren't as dumb as I thought they were. And one of these days, my sons are going to look back and say, you know what, Dad wasn't as dumb as we thought. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Holy Toledo. He just described the world we are living in. And he was describing the world God destroyed with flood. Therefore, let's go on into chapter 2. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Maybe not on the same degree. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. In other words, God has truth. If you want to know truth, you got to seek God. I know God hates war, and I hate war too. But I understand that as a military man, there's unfortunately a time you can't just sit by. You will be dead. I love my family too much to sit by and let people come in and kill them in front of me. As they say, I'll go down swinging. Because I personally do not believe the oath that I took in 1989 stopped in 1993. There was no expiration date, just my active duty service. That was it. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, and not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Okay, first off, folks, this is something we have got. We've got to get this through our brain housing group. It's God's goodness that leads people to repentance, not our condemnation of what they're doing. I don't like a lot of things that are happening. I see things happening in people's lives, and I'm like, God, why? But he says, it's not your condemnation that's going to bring them back. It's my goodness. I'll bring them back. It's his responsibility to bring them back. I'm going to point out something. I was always a little confused about this parable Jesus told of the lost sheep and how the shepherd went out into the wilderness and he got that one sheep and he brought that one sheep back. And I'm like, Lord, what is the deal? You know, and he told me, he said, I finally understand it. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, not you. I'll go out. I'll deal with them. And as a pastor, if I go running off after every person who gets mad or gets their feelings hurt or whatever, if they aren't willing to talk, then they ain't willing to talk, so ain't no point in me going after them. It's God. And guess what? God always brings them back around. But if I forget the people, the sheep that are in the fold back here, it leaves them open for attack. So you got loved ones, you got family. You've got to let the good shepherd. He knows how to bring them back. He knows what it'll take to go get them. Now, there's a lot of times, you know, I've always heard, and I haven't really done too much study on Jewish shepherding practices, but I've always heard that the shepherd would break the leg of the animal. Well, I mean, I'm listening, and part of me understands that, but there's another part that says, okay, so now you leave this animal totally defenseless, injured with an injury that I can attest to you, if you have ever broken a bone, you feel right where that bone broke whenever the humidity levels are high. That's why I like areas where it's not humid. All those little spots in my body that I've broken bones, yeah, they ache. But I've seen what God can do. God knows how to go. If he has to break a leg, then he's probably going to break the leg, but he doesn't have to break everybody's. He didn't have to break my leg. It was his goodness. It was knowing that God is good and God was there loving me while I was in rebellion that brought me back. Verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation in the righteous judgment of God. Now he's talking about all of us again. We're sitting here judgmental. We're practicing this. We got our own things going on. We're not living the life that we know God has called us to live. And he said, now you're storing up for yourself wrath in that day. And when you get there and you get the revelation, that's probably going to be more wrath than you can handle. Realizing, I did that. I look back at my own life sometimes. I've been preaching on condemnation and judgment a lot lately. And it's because I've sat back and I've looked. I said, oh, dear Lord. I thought I was on a Supreme Court, apparently. Of how critical and judgmental I was of people. Instead of praying for them, I was judging them. And it's not my job. And wrath and revelation in the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. But Pastor, I had this thought. Now listen, Jesus was sharing something. I'm going to take the opportunity here real quick to talk about this. Jesus said, I share something new with you. He said, it's been said before, don't commit adultery. But he says, I say that if you look at the woman, you've already committed adultery. Now, if having an improper thought is a sin, can anybody in here please stand up as righteous? Thank you. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. I'm sitting down. Right. Because we didn't act on it, right? Most of the time. We are judged and rendered according to our actions. What we did. Now, we'll also be judged by our inactions when God told us to do something and we didn't do it. Okay? Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. Okay, folks. God is trying to get us to understand. We need to get up every morning, look in that mirror, and say, is this the kind of person I want to be today? I don't. I get up. Okay, first off, the breath bouncing back off the mirror is about to knock me down. So let's take care of that. Splash some water, wash, fix my hair. You like my hair, new hairdo? Takes a real long time to do it. I'm heading that way, I think. But ultimately, folks, Paul was trying to get the Romans, the church in Rome at the time, to understand you can't run around judging people. You can't run around acting like them. You can't run around with malice in your heart towards your brother or your sister. You cannot be doing this and thinking that you're any different than the world. God's call for all of us is to repentance, and it's his goodness that draws us. It's his kindness, his mercy. Anybody who's ever been evil to me, I don't associate with. Okay? If I know a dog bites, I don't go down there and get in his face. He's probably going to bite me on the nose. I learned the hard way as a contractor. I got bit by a dog one time. Think I could be around it all day. It'd come up, you know, like dogs do. They always sniff your rear end and got used to it. And this one time the dog bit me. I'm like, what? I thought, well, maybe, I don't know. So I'm walking along. It bit me again. Bite me once, shame on you. Bite me twice, shame on me. And I ran into two other dogs that did the same thing. A dog that will bite is going to bite. Why is it we're surprised when a snake bites? That's what snakes do. A garter snake will bite you. He ain't going to hurt you. But why are we surprised as it's sitting there trying to do something to us? People are the same way. Well, Pastor, it sounds like you're telling me that if people keep hurting me to stay away from them. You think? You think if that person continues to hurt you, they aren't repentant. And you've got to protect you as well. You've got to pray for them. Nowhere in my Bible does, as a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says that when you've got a brother or sister in the Lord, particularly, but I would say anybody, and they are doing you wrong and will not repent, he said, shun them. They don't exist anymore. That's what that word means. They do not exist. They aren't going to hurt you that way. That's what real shunning is. I don't agree with the Amish shunning. What, person can't believe? Listen, if my son wants to go to a Baptist church, as long as he believes in Jesus Christ, I'm going to miss him as a drummer, but he can't do that. I will not allow him. But you get the point. Just because, listen, it's the body of Christ. It's not the church of me. So when it comes to people like that, you've got to sometimes say, you know what? You've bit me twice. There's not going to be a third time. Jesus told us, if a man strikes you on one cheek, give him the other. Give him two shots. I'm going to also emphasize that with, he didn't say stand there and let them beat your brains out. So many people, oh, they're out to kill you, okay? You come at me and I can see the anger and the wrath in your eyes and you're going to hurt me. I'm sorry, you may not get the loving preacher at the time. You may find the pent-up jarhead who didn't get to do what he was supposed to do. But God wants us to think about ourselves and things as well. That's why he said you've got to love others as you love yourself. I've got to love myself and understand God didn't make me be a punching bag for everybody. There's certain people that they think they can get, they have. I mean, nobody's been dumb enough to come up and actually punch me, but and I would pray I never have to face that challenge. By the way, I'm not a hothead, so don't anybody hearing this on the internet or hearing this right now think, oh, pastor's just looking for a fight. No, I'm not. Like I said, the more I go on, the more I despise what war does, what fighting does. There ain't a person who's ever been in war that says, oh, it's a good thing. Unfortunately, it has to happen because there are evil men in the world and they have to be stopped. But when it comes to the church of Christ, the body of Christ, yeah, we're not supposed to be fighting against each other. We're not supposed to be going out leading the wars just because people don't believe the same way we do. Here's the thing about this country, folks. Here's the thing about the uniqueness of the United States of America. Our founding fathers, most of them believed there was a God. Not all of them served that God. Okay? But they understood one truth, that in order to protect religious freedom for those who believe in the Lord God, I have to protect for everybody. Whether I believe like them or not, I have to believe and have that right for the Muslim, for the Wiccan, for the Satanist, for the Buddhist, and everybody else. I have to protect that freedom. We are a unique country in that aspect. There's no other country in the world like this. All you got to do is pay attention to the news. And it's not just in Muslim countries that Christians are being rounded up and killed. It's in countries where Buddhism, which is supposedly peaceful, I'm always amazed at the number of actors who turn Buddhist, Richard Gere being one of them. And yet, they always play violent characters. I'm like, okay, you're a Buddhist, and yet you're playing this sadistic, maniacal person. Or Sigourney Weaver. I don't believe in people should have guns, but yet guns is what made her a movie star. Aliens, come on. That's what made her. They don't believe in all, but that's what, oh, that's acting. That's your life. So I've also thought, you know what, if you're a Christian, you really shouldn't be playing the slutty tramp and exposing yourself. But I got to watch that. Why? You start judging. Pray for them. Let God work on them. Okay? All right. I'm done. Let's stand. I have no title, so Katie, whatever you come up with. But I'll be honest with you, there's so many things that, like I said, as the dust settles and some things that have been going on in my life, I want, and I thank you for your prayers, but I'm just amazed at what God has been showing me and what he's just been telling me. I'm like, oh, okay. I saw how that worked out for them. I think I'm just going to hold on. I'm going to let God be my defender. And we'll see. But, you know, be honest with you, as a body, whether you're a member of this body or not, remember to pray for the people who are around you, people that you see every Sunday. They're part of this body, okay? They get attacked the same way you do. There's not a one of us in here exempt. God's taken us all in different directions in our walks because we are different people. Before I go, before we totally dismiss, we were unable to present somebody with their baptism certificate because they've been working out of town. So, Caleb, would you come up here, bud? Yeah, right after that, he got blessed with working in the great state of West Virginia. I always said it's a good place to be from. That's where my birth certificate states. But anyhow, Caleb was baptized at our picnic on August 3rd as well. He received the Lord a little bit ago and, you know, just excited and to see what God's going to be doing in your life, you know, as you grow in him. And as we see, you know, in the people that I'm already seeing things happening in people's lives who've given their lives over to the Lord, and it's amazing to watch young Christians grow. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. Well, having said that, let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you and I praise you. Father, first off, for your goodness and your mercy towards us. Lord, I pray that you help us all to receive that into our lives, Father, and remind us of how much mercy and goodness you have extended to us, the kindness that drew us to repent. Not the condemnation, but your kindness. Lord, I thank you that as we're all stepping out, we're growing, we're reaching new heights in our faith with you, Lord, that you are always with us. You have never forsaken us. And now, Lord, I pray for blessings in these people's lives as they go about their week, Father, some to school, some preparing for the fair. Lord, I thank you that you're going with them. You're setting your angels round about them. Lord, you're blessing their places of employment. In Jesus' name, amen.